voice which warned you about not wearing a seatbelt even when you were. It had been programmed by someone who not only didn't understand English, but didn't understand Japanese either. It was state of the art, he said. The art in this case was probably pottery. His friends nodded and agreed and privately decided that if it ever came to buying a wasabi or walking, they'd invest in a pair of shoes. It came to the same thing anyway, since one reason for the wasabi's incredible MPG was the fact that it spent a lot of time waiting in garages while crankshafts and things were in the post from the world's only surviving wasabi agent in Nigirizushi, Japan. In that vague, zen-like trance in which most people drive, Newt found himself wondering exactly how he used the pin. Did you say, I've got a pin and I'm not afraid to use it? Have pin, we'll travel. The pin slinger, the man with the golden pin, the pins of Navarone. It might have interested Newt to know that, of the 39,000 women tested with the pin during the centuries of witch hunting, 29,000 said ouch. 9,999 didn't feel anything because of the use of the aforesaid retractable pins, and one witch declared that it had miraculously cleared up the arthritis in her leg. Her name was Agnes Nutter. She was the Witchfinder Army's great failure. One of the early entries in the Nice and Accurate Prophecies concerned Agnes Nutter's own death. The English, by and large, being a crass and indolent race, were not as keen on burning women as other countries in Europe. In Germany, the bonfires were built and burned with regular Teutonic thoroughness. Even the pious Scots, locked throughout history in a long-drawn-out battle with their arch-enemies, the Scots, managed a few burnings to while away the long winter evenings. But the English never seemed to have the heart for it. One reason for this may have to do with the manner of Agnes Nutter's death, which more or less marked the end of the serious witch-hunting craze in England. A howling mob, reduced to utter fury by her habit of going around being intelligent and curing people, arrived at her house one April evening to find her sitting with her coat on, waiting for them. "You're tardy," she said to them. "I should have been aflame 10 minutes since." Then she got up and hobbled slowly through the suddenly silent crowd, out of the cottage and to the bonfire that had been hastily thrown together on the village green. Legend says that she climbed awkwardly onto the pyre and thrust her arms around the stake behind her. "Die it well," she said to the astonished witchfinder, and then, as the villagers sidled towards the pyre, she raised her handsome head in the firelight and said, "Gather ye right close, good people. Come close until the fire near scorch ye, for I charge ye that all must see how the last true witch in England dies. For which I am, for so I am judged, yet I know not what my true crime may be, and therefore let mine death be a message to the world. Gather ye right close, I say, and mark well the fate of all who meddle with such as they do not understand." And apparently she smiled and looked up at the sky over the village and added, "That goes for you as well, ye daft old fool." And after that strange blasphemy she said no more. She let them gag her and stood imperiously as the torches were put to the dry wood. The crowd grew nearer, one or two of its members a little uncertain as to whether they'd done the right thing, now they came to think about it. 30 seconds later, an explosion took out the village green, scythed the valley clean of every living thing, and was seen as far away as Halifax. There was much subsequent debate as to whether this had been sent by God or by Satan, but a note later found in Agnes Nutter's cottage indicated that any divine or devilish intervention had been materially helped by the contents of Agnes's petticoats, wherein she had, with some foresight concealed, 80 pounds of gunpowder and 40 pounds of roofing nails. What Agnes also left behind, on the kitchen table beside a note cancelling the milk, was a box and a book. There were specific instructions as to what should be done with the box, and equally specific instructions about what should be done with the book. It was to be sent to Agnes's son, John Device. The people who found it, who were from the next village and had been woken up by the explosion, considered ignoring the instructions and just burning the cottage, and then looked around at the twinkling fires and nail-studded wreckage and decided not to. Besides, Agnes's note included painfully precise predictions about what would happen to people who did not carry out her orders. The man who put the torch to Agnes Nutter was a witch-finder major. They found his hat in a tree 2 miles away. His name, stitched inside on a fairly large piece of tape, was "Thou shalt not commit adultery, Pulsifer." one of England's most assiduous